Good morning. Welcome to St. Stephen Lutheran Church. This morning we'll have a lay service as Pastor Mark Gullerud this past week went to the doctor, found out he has a pneumonia. So he is resting and taking care of himself. So today between myself and Tim Blank, we'll be doing the service. We open our service this morning with a prayer. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we enter this holy season of Lent with sorrow and fear and with awe and wonder. As we consider your suffering and death, make us to see that our own sins are the cause of it all and lead us to genuinely sorrow and repentance, and lead us to see your incredible love for us and marvel at your willing sacrifice, so that we may worship and praise you from our whole heart. Hear us, for Christ's sake. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 837, Lift High the Cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will. Amen. Pray. Merciful God, your Son Jesus Christ was lifted high upon the cross that he might bear the sins of the world and draw all people to himself. Grant that we who glory in his death for our redemption may faithfully heed his call to bear the cross of a Christian and follow him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our lessons this morning are going to be the passion history of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the four Gospels. Then a detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away and brought him into the high priest's house. They led him to Annas first, for he was a high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus at a distance, and so did the other disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in right into the courtyard of the high priest. And the servants and the officers who had made a fire of coals in the midst of the courtyard stood there, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself at the fire. And after they had sat down together, Peter sat down with the servants to see the end. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent Jesus bound to Caiaphas, the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. And the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and found none, even though many false witnesses came forward. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and bore false witness against him, saying, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?' But Jesus kept silent and answered nothing. And the high priest asked him, saying to him, 'I adjure you by the living God that you tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the Blessed.' And Jesus said, 'I am. It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?' And they all condemned him to be worthy of death. They answered and said, 'He is deserving of death.' Then some began to spit in his face, and the men who held Jesus mocked him. They blindfolded him and struck him on the face and asked him, 'Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you?' And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Now Peter was sitting outside below in the courtyard, and a certain servant girl, one of the servant girls of the high priest, the one who kept the door, saw Peter warming himself, and he sat by the fire. And she came to him and said, 'You are not also one of the man's disciples, aren't you?' He said, 'I am not.' She said, 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee.' She looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with him.' But Peter denied it before them all, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him. I neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And after a little while, when he had gone out of the gateway, another servant girl saw him and began to say to those who stood by, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. This is one of them.' Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, 'You are not also one of the disciples, are you?' One saw him and said, 'You also are of them.' And again he denied it with an oath. And he said, 'Man, I am not. I do not know the man.' Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' Those who stood by said to Peter, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.' One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, 'I did not see you in the garden with him.' Did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter therefore denied it again. He said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' He began to curse and swear, 'I do not know the man. I do not know this man of whom you speak.' And immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed a second time. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter called to mind the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when Peter thought about it, he went out and wept bitterly. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Please rise and we will confess our faith in the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed with the Luther's Catechism. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. And we'll continue our service this morning on page 7 of the bulletin with hymn number 611, Chief of Sinners Though I Be.
Our sermon text is from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 3. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. So far the text. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our sermon theme is Isaiah reveals the man of sorrows who gives us joy and gladness. In the name of our sorrowful servant, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, when we think of Jesus, we might picture him as being the personification of joy. The psalmist says of the Lord, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Jesus, who is in very nature God, is the very fountainhead of the source of all joy and gladness. Think also of where he came from before he descended here on earth. He came from the eternal realms of glory where there is perfect joy. And yet, when Jesus lived among mankind here below, he did not always experience joy. The prophet Isaiah speaks of him in our text as a man of sorrows. This does not mean Jesus always went around with a frown on his face. There were certainly many times when Jesus found joy while growing up in the God-fearing home of Mary and Joseph, even as there were also many occasions for joy when Jesus was with his beloved disciples and dear friends. However, there were also many events that filled Jesus with much grief and sadness. One of the major reasons for Jesus' sorrow was due to the way both he and his teachings were oftentimes received by the Jews whom he had been sent to. Many of them were offended by the message that he proclaimed to them. Since the majority of them had an entirely different expectation of the Messiah than what Jesus was and did, they rejected him. This was not the fault of God, because through the prophets, such as Isaiah, a very clear picture of the Messiah was revealed. In verse 2 of our text, Isaiah writes, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." These two pictures from nature present the lowly background and condition in which Jesus sprang forth and grew. First of all, he came forth like a root out of dry ground. This picture is very similar to another prophecy of Isaiah, where he writes of Jesus, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." Jesus was born of the royal family of King David, who was the son of Jesse. But at the time of his birth, his parentage was not so royal or so glorious, for the reign of David's family was at an end. Jesus was also born to a very poor and lowly family. Thus, the picture of the lifeless stump and the dry ground. As far as the conditions under which Jesus, the Messiah, was to grow up, Isaiah says, "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant." When a tender plant or shoot on the tree springs forth, it goes unnoticed. And so also Jesus grew up inconspicuously along with other children in the small town of Nazareth. In the second part of verse 2, Isaiah goes on to say concerning Jesus, "He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men." Many Jews expected the Messiah to live in splendor and grandeur and establish a kingdom like the glory days of King David and King Solomon. But when they saw the outward features of Jesus, there was nothing in him that attracted them. He came as a lowly, humble servant. Therefore, when the Jews saw the lowliness of Jesus, they were offended by it and looked upon him with scorn and rejected him. This caused Jesus to be filled with grief and sorrow. For the Jews were supposed to be God's chosen people, and he was their only hope for salvation. Jesus was not only scorned and shunned by the common Jews, but also by the prominent leading ones. One Pharisee asked a question concerning Jesus, to which he expected a negative response. Have any of the rulers or Pharisees believed in him? When they saw Jesus meeting and eating with the low-life tax collectors and sinners, they wouldn't have anything to do with him. They had no time for someone who had come to seek and save those who are lost. What a sad state of affairs for the high and mighty to fail to realize that they were part of the lost sinners Jesus had come to save. On Tuesday of Holy Week, Jesus was filled with great sorrow over the unbelief of Jerusalem and the coming judgment they would be visited with on account of their rejection of Jesus. He could be heard weeping and lamenting over the city, saying, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. If you had known, even you, especially this day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation." We might have expected the city of Jerusalem to be receptive to the teachings of Christ, for this was the holy city where the temple of God and the learned religious leaders were. But that which was found among the people was hypocrisy, dishonesty, and cynicism. The Jewish leaders saw no need for a savior because they considered themselves to be their own savior. On this account, the city could be characterized as a spiritual slum. This is the same kind of treatment Jesus receives from many in our day. While Jesus is regarded by many as a morally upright and fine humanitarian, they refuse to acknowledge him as their Savior, who came to save them from their sinful and lost condition. There was no reason for a sorrowful heart in Jesus when he witnessed a large defection of his disciples. In John 6, we read, "Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus knew from the very beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, 'Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." These erstwhile disciples stopped following Jesus because there were certain teachings of Jesus that they found to be too hard to swallow. There is a striking similarity between these offended disciples and some today who espouse to be Christians. They say that they believe in Jesus, but they are unwilling to accept all his teachings because they go against the grain of their sin-blinded eyes. While they claim to be followers of Christ, yet in many respects they have stopped following him. Throughout Jesus' life, he was despised and rejected. However, their scorn became more intense and apparent in the last hours of his life. Surely Jesus was filled with great sorrow when his fellow Jews mocked him, mistreated him, and cried out for him to be crucified. In our day, the Lord Jesus continues to feel great sorrow over any who reject him as their Lord and Savior, because they are cutting themselves off from the only hope of salvation. Jesus also feels great concern for those who confess a faith in him, but are unwilling to faithfully abide in his teachings, because in so doing, they are placing their spiritual and eternal welfare in jeopardy. Jesus' teachings not only set us free, but they also keep us free. On the other hand, Jesus experiences great joy and gladness when people turn to him with repentance and faith, and thus receive his precious gifts and forgiveness and salvation. Listen to what Jesus says about a single sinner who repents of his sins and turns to him in faith. He says, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." The Lord also rejoices over those who willingly and cheerfully follow him, faithfully adhere to his teachings, deny themselves, and bear the Christian cross. In so doing, they are showing love, devotion, and gratitude to Jesus for his work of redemption. That believers give rise to such joy and gladness in heaven is not due to our own efforts. Our faith, love, and devotion is a result of the Holy Spirit's work in our hearts. The Spirit of God brings us to faith and keeps us in faith as we give ear to the gospel of Christ and receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. Not only is Jesus happy when we look to him in faith and follow him in love, but we also experience happiness of heart. In a familiar Bible passage used frequently in our worship services, Jesus says to us, "Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it." As we continue to hear and cling to the precious teachings of Christ, our hearts are gladdened by the good news of God's unconditional love, his infinite mercy and boundless grace. As we put our trust in the Lord's promise of his abiding care for us, we are put at ease, being delivered from fears, worries, and anxieties. But most important of all, as we look to our Savior, Jesus, in faith, we experience the joy of our eternal salvation through him. May we ever listen attentively to God's word of grace and truth, so that the Holy Spirit continues to do his work of enabling us to remain in the Christian faith to the very end of our lives. So then we will enter the glorious world of heaven, where there will never be any kind of sorrow, but only perfect joy and gladness. God grant this to us all, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please rise for the singing of the offertory. Be seated as we sing our next hymn, hymn 420, Christ, the Life of All the Living.
Please rise as we bring our prayers to God. O Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us a high priest, Jesus Christ, who knows our infirmities since he bore them, and who understands our trials and troubles since he endured them. All praise to you for the love you have shown us in your Son. O Lamb of God, who was slain as a sacrifice for the sins of the world, and who has become the author of salvation for all who trust in you, give us such faith and trust that we, listening to your voice, may find the true joy of conforming our wills to your holy will. If we find ourselves in temptations, deliver us by your power and save us from all evil. Help us to wrestle daily against the powers of darkness, which are present in every circumstance of life. Overthrow Satan, our evil foe, in every assault on our souls. Make us strong in you, and by your example, show us the victorious power of your word. Let your blessing rest upon our homes, O Lord. Give all parents wisdom and grace to be true followers of him who is the light of the world, so that by their manner of living they may be worthy examples for their children. Dear God, bless our country and those in every office and calling, that they may lead our nation in a way that is pleasing to you. For those among us who are afflicted with suffering and pain, grant that they may see your gentle hand of guiding love in whatever ails them. For those who sorrow, give the comfort of your promises. For those in need, show yourself the source of all good. If any are dying, give them the confidence that though this earthly body is destroyed, we have a new and glorious life in Christ when he comes again. Now, dear Father, give your angels charge over all your people to minister to their salvation and to bring them safely through this world to the eternal kingdom which you have prepared for those who place their trust alone in your Son. In his name we pray. Amen. We also pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. Amen. Please be seated, and then we will close our service with the last three verses of hymn number 420, Christ, the Life of All Living. morning again. We all got up at 2 a.m. and turned our clocks forward, so we all made it here on time. That's good. Announcements for today after service, after we visit a little bit, the choir practice at 11 o'clock, and then church council will also be meeting at that time. And then afterwards, more volunteer work is available over at the Barsonage. On Monday, tomorrow, it's down here a little further, yeah, Leslie Harillo's, at Leslie Harillo's home, I guess a book club is starting. Does anybody know any further information on that one? I think that's the first time I've said, okay, yes. And thank you to Tim for bringing the sermon to us this morning. We appreciate that. And to Barb for the organist, and Dan for running the audio-visual back in the back. Got a lot of volunteers here. It's kind of like good news, bad news. What else do we have? Next Sunday, Board of Ed meeting on Tuesday evening, 5:30 p.m. via Zoom, using Michaela's Zoom website. And then next Sunday, normal service time, 10 o'clock at for worship and 11 for a choir. And what else do we have here on this? I think we've got the letter from Pastor Schutze, who we had at our voters meeting last Sunday. We extended a call to him, and he's in Lakewood, Colorado. He says, it's in the bulletin, but I can read it here quickly. Dear parishioners of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, Christian greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. With this letter, I wish to acknowledge receipt of your call to serve as the pastor of your congregation. I received the call documents and accompanying information via email last Monday. I ask for your prayers that the Lord of the church guide my deliberations so the decision I reach will be accord with his will and serve for the spiritual well-being of his flocks in California and Colorado. When I reach my decision, I will be in touch. During the coming days, in the process of my call consideration, I will plan to contact you to obtain additional information about ministry needs in your parish. You'll probably call Tim, but anybody else is welcome to his email address is here. So anybody, if you want to extend an email to him and give some information or whatever, he will accept that. He says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Sincerely, Pastor Thomas Schutze. Any other announcements this morning?
A big thank you to all those who have been volunteering at the Parsonage and painting. Barb tells me that there was a lot of progress made yesterday. So thank you to anybody who's been helping out with that process.
Yes. If nothing else, have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Thank you.